I want to say I thank the Lord for His kind watch care and our safe travels, that we had a safe journey here. I heard a statistic the other day of the amount of traffic, how much it had increased and how much the deaths in traffic had went up tremendously. And when I get out on the highways, it's very evident that gas prices are down, because everybody has a car and everybody is out scouting. Whatever they're doing, I don't know. I ask myself, what are they doing out here? I'm supposed to be the only one out here. But God delivered us on the highways. And sometimes when you get into some of this traffic, I'm reminded of a friend of mine that drove a truck for my uncle one time. He was up in New York City. And of course, the traffic has gotten to such a degree that whether you're in Oklahoma City or Los Angeles or in New York City, bumper to bumper is bumper to bumper, no matter where you are. But if you don't know where your exit is and you need to get over six lanes of traffic and exit, he asked a fellow in New York City one time, he said, "How do you drive in this traffic?" He said, "Well, the best way I've found to do it is every morning when I get in the car, I put my hand in the door and slam it, and I'm in a good mood to drive everybody else." So you might try that sometime. We thank God for His kind watch care and our safe travel. And I thank God for my traveling companion, who is an outstanding navigator. She's an outstanding. In fact, if you could have seen us in Switzerland, across Liechtenstein, a little country of Liechtenstein, through the bottom part of Germany, over in Austria, and then back, couldn't read a sign, no kind. She got us through it. Thank God for that. And I just did that to kind of break the ice. I realize it's late, and Brother Joe was driven quite a bit further than we have, and I know he's tired. So I'll be mindful, or try to be. Hope the Lord will lead us. And certainly appreciate what Brother Vince has brought to our minds. And I thought, as he was speaking, how many people will be surprised when the Lord splits the heavens at His return. How many is going to be really, really, really looking for Him? Are we anticipating? You know, when I go off from home, I would feel bad if my wife never missed me or she wasn't looking for my return. I think God's people cannot be drunken by the philosophies of this world and be sober-minded to be looking for His glorious, and I say triumphant, victorious return, not subject to time or space or law anymore. Now, that which seems to be on my mind, I hope it's of the Lord, and if not, I hope I'll be aware of it and not be burdensome. You pray for me that the Lord will help us deal with this. And my mind was stirred, of course, as I trust yours was, as Brother Vince was speaking to us about a subject of waiting with a look, waiting with an anticipation. But somewhat, of course, it all connects. All of it connects. I would like to look at a question that the Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, asked in the later part of the second chapter. And I don't know why this has stood out to me. Reading it, something came to me that I needed to read 2 Corinthians yesterday, day before yesterday, and yesterday. Reading in 2 Corinthians, but if I don't get anything else across to you, if you've ever read the two epistles of 1 and 2 Corinthians, you'll realize that the environment was a lot like we are beginning to experience today.
That's
And so I think maybe that's the reason that God has made sure this has been safely kept for us and pinned down and providentially kept it for us, because we are seeing full circle. And I don't want to get into the details. In fact, it's been a while since I sat down and read about Corinth and the apostles' time. But just know this, it was bad. Understand, 1,000 temple prostitutes run the streets in the city of Corinth. And if you've never been to Las Vegas, it'll give you kind of an idea. They had, this environment was bad. Worship in the worst way. And I wouldn't go into detail. I'm not diplomatic enough. But just know this is bad. It's probably something like we're going to be experiencing as we go, seemingly, if things continue to digress, what we're going to be experiencing. And if I don't get anything else across, just here's the point I want to get over. First of all, now, if you were looking for a city to establish a church, I have all ideas we'd pass over Corinth. I just have all ideas we would. However, if you wanted to display your power, your capability, what better place could you choose than Corinth? And if I was going to put a title on this, I'm scared to put titles on discourses. I'm afraid I might miss it so far you won't even recognize it. But if I was going to put a title on this, it would be Proof of a Gift. Now, lest I forget it, I want to get this point across. Who the apostle is writing to? Saints in Christ Jesus. Now, the Apostle Paul found himself in Corinth. Come dark, I think he was filled with fear. I think he had a lot of concern. In fact, I think he told himself, "Self, when it comes daylight, you're out of here, because this is a corrupt place." However, God came to him and says, "Paul, be not afraid." Now, if you were walking the streets of Corinth and you say, I think that looks like a child of God over there. Well, that over there is behaving kind of like one. I don't have any idea that you would say that. But God told the Apostle Paul, "Paul, be not afraid, for no man shall sit on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city." Now, friends, that gives me hope for a society that I see, societies that I see crumble today. Exactly. That gives me some hope.
Exactly.
So, just remember this. These people to whom God used, the Apostle Paul, and I emphasize that because I want to go on and deal with this question that the Apostle Paul asked and kind of look at the overall picture. I want to be mindful of the time. I do. Look at the overall, the bigger picture of what the Apostle Paul is a polemic, is that how, argument, discussion? In other words, he's trying to set to rest a main specific point of the church at Corinth, that from the establishment of the church to the condition that it had come to, or that it had gotten into, at the time he was writing these epistles, he's trying to set to rest a heresy that had gotten in there that questioned his apostleship. That's what I want to deal with, God being my helper. But remember this, if I don't get any other point across, that the Apostle Paul is writing to this church was made up of saints. Now, I've had church members ask me, well, what is a saint? That's one sanctified. A saint is somebody that's sanctified. The word sanctification means to be purpose unto holiness. Set apart for a holy purpose or purpose unto holiness. So these were children of God. They'd been children of God in covenant before the world began. They were children of God in manifestation at the establishment of this church. They were children of God. They were covenant children. They were born again children. Then they were manifest children. And it was evident that the Apostle Paul is writing to children of God. And after he had gotten the word of the corruption that had taken their affections, that had taken their attention and taken their affections, and evident that they didn't have their mind and their their affections on things above. That was evident. Otherwise, they would not have letting themselves be persuaded to do some of the things. Again, time would not allow us to speak about some of the things that they allowed. They were even getting segregating and getting intoxicated in the communion service. But somewhere, somebody's instilled doubt in their mind that Paul wasn't really an apostle. He really wasn't authorized. He really didn't have the authorization, and he was wishy-washy. It was either yay, maybe, or nay. Maybe it is, maybe or not. I don't know. But he says that was not true. And he said, if you stop and think about it, that when we were with you, it was not yay. And it was not nay. Maybe it was, maybe it wasn't. What I taught you was established by Scripture. What I taught you was not wishy-washy. It was not maybe, maybe not. And this much, my friends, any minister that'll get up and suggest to you a doctrine just in a suggestive way needs to go back and read the Word of God and maybe work with a little bit more. But the Scripture is very plain on what it teaches. And God's ministers are charged and should be very firm in what they teach. That it's not yea and nay, but all the promises of God are in Him, yea and in Him, amen. God's promises are in Him, yea and amen. He says, it was not when I was with you. In case they persuaded you of this, when I was with you, it was not yea and nay. He said, for the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you, even by me, Silvanus, Timotheus, was not yea and nay, but all the promises of God are in Him. Amen. Unto the glory of God by us. And there's another point I want to get over in case I miss it. Paul repeatedly says, the things that I have suffered to bring the gospel to you, the things that I have, the afflictions and the tribulations, and that which I have suffered to bring the gospel unto you, and to the people of God, or to the children of God in the diverse cities and the diverse places, and of all of the afflictions and the sufferings that I suffered, that they are for this purpose. And your pastor or whoever speaks to you from Sunday to Sunday, the things that they suffer to bring to you the gospel, it is all for this very purpose. And he makes this statement in chapter 4. I think he repeats it maybe three times in this epistle. And he makes this statement, for all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. All that we do, Paul says, all the afflictions and the trials and the tribulations that I went through, and I'll read a few of them here in a few moments,
All the trials, afflictions, and the sufferings that I did was for this very purpose, that through the thanksgiving of many, that the thanksgiving redound to the glory of God. That's why we should be willing and ready to suffer if we're going to stand for right. And it's coming, friends, as we see evident. Anybody that wants to stand for right, get ready. Afflictions are guaranteed. But what the Apostle Paul stated in the first chapter, he says, the reward of the sufferings is consolation. Without the sufferings, no consolation. Guaranteed with the sufferings for right is consolation. That is, God give you a little glimpse. He give you a little taste. He will give you a little taste, a little foretaste, as it were, a little foretaste of glory. And that's the reason the Apostle Paul, I still haven't got to my question. Don't let me forget it. That's the reason the Apostle Paul, he says, some are even saying that Paul's letters are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak and contemptible. I don't know what his physical makeup, I don't know what he looked like. Not only that, the Apostle Paul, he even stated as he closes out this epistle that signs and wonders, how was it he put it? Bear with me just a moment. Truly, the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in patience and signs and wonders and mighty deeds. He didn't go into detail what they were. But evident that the Lord was using him to establish this church in the midst of a corruption that only God and only God could establish a church in such a polluted, corrupt society and environment. Only God can do that. And he says that the signs, the patience, and the mighty deeds that were done in your... you've forgotten those things. And how often do we forget? You ever go away from the house of God feeling like you were blood-bought and heaven-bound, 10-foot-tall, bulletproof, just to have yourself on the freeway begin to doubt? On the way home, begin to wonder, have thoughts go through your mind. You couldn't be a child of God, or that wouldn't have never come through your mind. How often, how quickly we are made to doubt. These people had forgotten the patience and the wonders and the signs and the mighty deeds that were done in their presence. They even said that while his letters, he's a bad boy in letter. Yes, sir, he's a bad boy, but in bodily presence, he's weak. He said, wait a minute, you better think this again. I'm coming again, and I'm not coming for what you have. I'm coming for you. That's a sign, my friends, that the Apostle Paul cared deeply. In fact, he said, the more I love, the less I be loved. Is the things that I'm telling you, the things that I'm having to tell you, are they because I love you not? He said, God knoweth. God knows that I love you. And the things that he was suffering, the tribulations and the afflictions was all to the glory of God. And these are some of the things that he went through, that he had gone through. And you've read them. I encourage you to read them again. But he said, of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day have I been in the deep. In journeyings oft, perils of waters, perils of robbers, perils of mine own countrymen, and perils by the heathen, and perils in the city, perils in the wilderness, perils in the sea, perils among brethren, in weariness, painfulness, and watchings oft in hunger and thirst, and fastings and cold and nakedness.
Besides all those things, I think I got it bad in just one church. Woe is me. These people won't listen to what I'm telling them. I can't get them to listen. I can't get them to get serious about it. Besides all of those things, the care of the churches. Truly a sign that an apostleship was wrought among them. And the question that I went after is found in the second chapter. He said, "Now thanks be unto God, who always causeth us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savor of His knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one are we the savor of death unto death, and to the other the savor of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things?" Do you realize, friends, does it ever enter our minds where we would be were it not for God's revealing grace, God's revelation unto us? Why, we'd just blend in with the world. We would fit right in. We have the same carnal nature. We have the same mother and father in Adam and Eve. We are a fallen race of people, and we would blend in with the world. Do you understand what peace that we have because God has revealed His will, that He has revealed of that which He has done, that which He is doing, and that which He shall do? Do we understand where we would be without that revelation? Having no hope and without God in the world would be no different than the blending in with the world. Dog eat dog, every man for himself. But because of God's wonderful and marvelous grace in revealing to us His intent and His purpose, it didn't just start when He created the world, and it's not trial and error with God. It's not wait and see with God. Our Father, our God, has had this plan from before the world began. He's had it planned from before the world began. And friends, as the saying comes, come hell or high water, it will not be altered. It will not be changed. He will do His will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay His hand nor say unto Him, "What doest thou?" Friends, when we think about what we have in the experiences of the apostles, in the writings of the apostles, in the experience of the apostles, in the revelation given to them, given to us, when we think about that, ask ourselves, who's worthy of that? Who's sufficient? Who is worthy of this? Truly, truly, they have not a leg to stand on to question His apostleship. But here's the ultimate evidence of the apostles' charge of God. And by the way, stop and think about that. You were filling out a resume, and it asked you the question, are you willing to suffer these perils that he named over there? Are you willing to suffer those? Are you willing to go to a people that you despised and that one time despised you? Are you willing? In other words, if I asked Brother Randy to go to a place that he knew his life would be in jeopardy, he just felt sure that his life would be in jeopardy, and what trust that he would have to put in God. If this is of God, I've got to go, but I fear my own life.
My wife will be without a husband, and my children will be without a father. What will I do? Oh, my friends, put yourself in the Apostle Paul's shoes. Ask yourself, would you do it? Go into the Gentiles, to which they despised, who were dogs in the eyes of the Jews? Oh, but how that God... You know, it kind of reminds me of the Old Testament, the burdens that they had on the Old Testament priest. And the details, the minute details that the Old Testament priest had to follow to the letter. What burdensome laws that they had, but oh, just to get a glimpse of God's glory in that temple made it all worthwhile. You see, to see God's children, the grace of God work in God's children, see God, the grace of God work in the hearts of God's children, made it all worthwhile for the Apostle Paul's sufferings. And he knew that the sufferings in this world were well, let's just use his words. And I thought about this while Brother Vince was pointing setting our minds to look upward and to wait for his son. That means with anticipation. That means with anxiety. Will he come today? You know, I wonder how often it enters our mind when we get up. Is this the day the Lord could come back? If so, am I ready? Well, the ready doctrine, am I ready? We ought to always be ready. Just like I would hope my bride looks for me at any time that I'm gone. She listens for my hand at the door. She awaits my return, and her affections are on me, awaiting for me. How it should be for us. Paul says, our lot afflictions. Boy, after all the suffering you did, and you call them lot affliction, and I complain, our lot afflictions, which is but for a moment. That's what we got to remember in relation to eternity. The sufferings that we have in this life are but for a moment. What is 10 years with cancer if we get to spend eternity with God? What is sufferings in this world? Persecution, being excluded by your neighbors and your friends. What is that when compared to eternity with God? There are a lot of afflictions, friends. Whatever afflictions that we might suffer in this world, there are but a lot of afflictions. You know what the Apostle Paul was looking to? He was looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of his faith. That's what he was looking to. He was looking for that. But you know, I just pause and interrupt myself by saying this. When you think about heaven and home, what do you think in your mind? I don't care how good it gets. It's infinity better than that. I don't care what you can think in your mind and in your heart. The comforts that you felt in your own home with your own family, growing up, and the security and the closeness and the unity that you felt at home with your own family. My friends, just multiply that times infinity, and that's what heaven will be like. Our light afflictions was just but for a moment. You know what he was comparing them to? Eternity. They're but for a moment. And what is a little while of afflictions and tribulations and trials and sufferings in this world in relation to eternity with God? Our light afflictions is but for a moment. Worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Here's what he was doing. While we look, not on the things that are seen. You know, you look on the things in this world, it gets you down. The things in this world will get you down. We don't look on the things that are seen. Contemplate the philosophies of man, the doubts and the horrors. You know, horrors sell. They do. Why do you think these journalists, these news media, hype up everything, and they make it tent? If it doesn't get that bad, it won't be because they didn't try to get it there. Because it sells. You know, when the oil well was leaking down in the Gulf, they were just traumatized, billions. Next thing you know, all the water's going to be oil. Oh, it's just bad. It's going to get worse. Bad. And all of a sudden, here come a hurricane out of the east. It's going to come across the peninsula of Florida. Going to go right over there. And it's going to stir it all up. And we're all going to be wet with oil. Oh, it was terrible. And the hurricane come across the peninsula of Florida and took north. And I saw a journalist and he started crying, just all but started weeping tears. It didn't go into the Gulf and stir it up. This world, my friends, fill you with doubts and fears. But we want to look not on the things that are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. They're just fleeting problems. But the things which are not seen are eternal. But they're real. We see them by an eye of faith. We see them by an eye of faith. May God bless you, is my prayer.